everyone. It's good to be here. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for the O'Regan family and your leading this morning. It's great. Great. Well, we've been looking at this series, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, and you can see there the QR code as well. The QR code goes to the booklet, which I'm sure hopefully by now you're aware of, the booklet which has some questions. And the whole idea of this series really is so that we can be disciples who do what? Make disciples. Yeah, you've probably heard that quite a few hundred times now this year, which is great. So yeah, the series is in here. And today we're looking at persevere and love. And the idea in these studies would be that we would, first of all, we would look back. So if you just take a second, just think about last week. I don't know if you remember what the theme was last week. I can help you out. It was giving. Yeah. So just have a think. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. Is there something that God said to us last week that we have done or we feel we should do? Just think to yourself just for a second about that. There was something I sort of semi have put into action, but I need to fulfill on it. So we look back and we look up. We've looked to the Lord. We can always look to the Lord. We look to the Lord in worship. And then we're going to be looking forward. So it's look back, look up, look forward is the style of study that we can do with someone who's just become a disciple or is in the process of becoming a disciple. So today we're looking at these two things, persevere and love. I don't know what you think of when you first think of persevere. You might be thinking like this, perhaps. You're really determined, really wanting to kind of keep going at all costs. And it may be a slow crawl kind of thing, mightn't it? Like our friend here. Or it might be a faster thing. But the Lord is calling us to persevere, to keep going. And I don't know how you are this morning, how you've come this morning. But the Lord gives us bread for the journey. He wants us to persevere, to keep going. When you think of the word persevering, I don't know what you think of. I can remember learning to drive. I can say that I passed first time. I was on huge pressure. Everybody in my family had passed first time, and I was the youngest. So I thought, gosh, I better pass first time. And I remember my driving instructor, who lived the same road I live in, actually. He said, oh, I don't think you're ready. No, you're not ready. And I had to persevere. And I can still hear him say, 3 to 2, 3 to 2. And I can still maybe hear the crunch of the gears. Well, I don't hear it these days, but I can still hear it from then. I had to persevere. When we learn a language, I've had to learn some languages. We have to persevere. I remember one time in Argentina, I had to give a talk on Nebuchadnezzar, or I had to read Daniel 1, where the word Nebuchadnezzar comes up a lot in Spanish. And I had to rehearse Nabucodonosor many times. Many, many times to get it right. Had to persevere. Sometimes I played the guitar, and those guitarists here, I'm sure there's a lot of secret guitarists as well here. You know, when we first start, we have to think, gosh, D, okay, where do I put my three fingers? Oh, like this, and we have to force our fingers to go there, don't we? But quite soon we might just be going, dung, D, and we don't think about it. That's because we've kind of persevered, haven't we? So it's really important in life to persevere. Okay, so I think these days, perseverance is something that is really kind of quite counter-cultural, really. It's quite easy for us maybe to be tempted not to persevere, isn't it, with everything so fast? I can remember way back in the year 2000, I don't know if you remember the year 2000, 25 years ago, long time ago. I remember Jenny and I were in Argentina, and we were working with students there in the university, and a guy came from Ecuador to give some talks, and one of the titles of his talks was the new millennium, because it was 2000, the challenge of speed. And I was thinking, wow, that's a bit of a weird title, The Challenge of Speed. But he was very forward-thinking, like futuristic. He was looking to the days like of today. And we didn't have any kind of Netflix or anything like that, or any streaming services. We didn't even have broadband then. Just had the old dial-up. You remember the dial-up? We had that, just, and a black and white computer. But it was the challenge of speed, and he was right. He was thinking, like, today we often have things on demand, don't we? On demand, that sounds a bit selfish. But that can be a real blessing, but it can actually stop us from persevering. Because we think, oh, okay, I won't remember. I don't need to remember my phone numbers. I struggle to even remember my own number sometimes. Because we don't dial these numbers, do we? But what does the Bible say, more importantly? What does the Bible say to us about perseverance? Well, we're going to see some verses from the Bible, which you can look at and you can refer to them later on. Do this at home. Very safe to do this at home. Look at the booklet and look at the verses, and maybe with someone who's exploring faith as well. So what does it say about in the Bible about perseverance? The Bible tells us that perseverance is a vital part of discipleship. And we're called to persevere when we have challenges. The Message version of 2 Timothy 3:12 says, anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. So if we're a Christian, we're in for a lot of trouble. We can't expect a life free of problems. In another version, it says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we can kind of expect persecution. I'd love to ask some of you to come up and just tell us about how you find sometimes it can be really challenging to be a Christian in 2025 in your situation. I'm sure for many of us it can be a challenge to do that, to stand out, to shine for Jesus. That verse, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, or anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in a lot of trouble, is in the same part of the Bible, just underneath, a few verses later. It says, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. I'm sure you've heard that verse many times, haven't you? Yeah? That's in the same paragraph as anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. But how much do we focus on that verse, the second verse, which we should, about the Bible? But how little maybe we focus on that we can expect to have trouble? Let's just keep looking a little bit more about some verses about perseverance. James 1, verses 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of any kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the testing of our faith, or trouble, has a purpose. So that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything at all. Are we growing as disciples? Or are we in the same place with the Lord that maybe we were 5-10 years ago? The parable of the sower, at the end of it, it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and, by persevering, produce a crop. What kind of crop are we producing? Let's just pause. Maybe just close your eyes for a minute. What kind of crop, as a disciple, am I producing? What's the legacy? that I'm leaving. A legacy is not just for politicians. God calls us to have a legacy as well, to produce a crop, something that only we can do because we are unique. You can open your eyes again if you haven't already. So God wants us to grow in our inner characteristics by persevering, and this is part of a process. So if we look at the process, I hope that's not too small, no, small for me up there. It says Romans 5:3-4, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. It's like a chain reaction, isn't it? And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. Perseverance and love kind of go together, and we'll see that in a few minutes' time, really. Perseverance is a process, as we've been saying. Love and perseverance. 2 Peter 1:5-9 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. So when God saved us, he didn't want us to stand still. Just, okay, my ticket to heaven is safe, is secure. That was just the beginning. How much have I journeyed with the Lord since that day? How much am I journeying now with him? Am I growing? Are you growing? Am I maturing as his disciples? Are we encouraging other people to grow? Are we multiplying disciples who can be effective and productive? So we can be encouraged that the testing of our faith, what does it produce? Perseverance. So we need to let perseverance finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We see the example of Jesus, how he persevered in Hebrews. Well, I'm sorry, we see in how Jesus persevered when he was going up to the temple, when he was going to Jerusalem. He knew where he was going. He knew he was going to go to the cross. And he set his face like flint, it says in some verses. He steeled himself. He persevered. And that's what we are called to do. I remember seeing James one day in Black Park on a Saturday morning at 8:50 for park run. And about a year ago, I think, something like that. 3 years? No. Well, I wasn't doing it 3 years ago. But I remember seeing you there, and I knew you were walking the dog and everything. And so we started the park run, and we kept going. And after about 3K, there's an open space. And there was James at the beginning of it. And I thought, I better not stop. And I was very tempted to stop. I was tempted to stop yesterday, but I knew I was giving a talk on perseverance. So I kept going. And I kept going when I saw James. And it's quite an open space there, so I saw him and I kept running. I thought, gosh, I better keep going because he's going to see me stop if I do stop. Persevere. God calls us to persevere. Yeah. God calls us here to throw off, you can see the verses there in gold, throw off, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with what? I must have said it 20 times already. Perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How are we doing? How are we doing with this perseverance thing? What does it mean to throw off all that hinders us? Are we doing that? Or are we still carrying like a backpack of things that we've been carrying for years? I believe Jesus wants us to hand those things to him. The things that so entangle us, slow us down. And every week there's a team of prayer ministry here. They're here today as well. If there's something that the Lord's speaking to you now or has been speaking to you about that is entangling you, that is slowing you down in your life, your Christian life, your discipleship, I'd encourage you to just seek the encouragement and prayer of somebody you know, or somebody from your life group, or somebody in the prayer ministry team this morning, perhaps. It's important that we throw off the things that entangle us so much. But perseverance without love, what does that mean? I think that means it's a dry, dead religion. We're just persevering, just keeping rules. We need love there as well. Perseverance comes out of an attitude for love, a love for God and for others. There's a story that's quite well known in the New Testament, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'd just like to invite Guy, if he'd less like to come, just to read that. Thanks so much, Guy. Do you need a microphone, Hal?
Okay.
You're going to go there? Yeah.
The parable of the Good Samaritan. You've heard this many, many, many times, some of you. So I'd just like you to, if you can, close your eyes, if you'd like to, and revisit this picture, this story. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Guy. That's great. We haven't got so much time, but I'd just like to give you an opportunity just to think about this. We won't get into groups now, but Jenny's going to get a mic if you can. There's one just here by the drums. Thanks. And 2 questions, really. What does this passage say about loving God? What does it say about loving others? So, what does this passage say about loving God? Is anyone willing just to answer that question just briefly? What does it say about loving God? Jenny's got the mic if you want to put your hand up. Over here, Marion. What does it say about loving God?
For me, it's trusting in him in all things, not just a few, but everything.
Thank you. Anyone else? What does it say about loving God? Danny.
I'm kind of thinking that, like, you got the priest and the Levite who were meant to be loving God because of their position, but that position doesn't mean you love God. It's your heart.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? Jenny's running to somebody. Hi.
For me, hi. It came to me that loving God is loving your neighbor.
Okay, great. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, and the second question, what does it say? You've answered that just now. What does it say about loving others, that we should love our neighbor? It comes out of it, doesn't it? Loving God, and as a consequence, we love our neighbor. Is there anything else it says about loving others, this passage?
I just think it also says not looking the other way when we see a need and just attend to it.
Thank you. Not looking the other way. Yeah, it's very, very easy, isn't it, to look the other way. And sometimes it's just not convenient. We're thinking, oh, I'm in a rush here, you know, or it didn't really feel like talking to someone or whatever, you know. But we see there that the Samaritan went out of his way. He might have been in a big hurry, but he stopped and he helped the man, and even continued that relationship. Sorry, can you wait for the mic? Sorry. Thank you.
Loving everybody, doesn't matter what face or colour or whatever they are, just love them and
thank
help
you. Yeah.
When you can.
Exactly, yeah. Jesus didn't discriminate, did he? Yeah. Wonderful. Great, thank you so much to my able assistant as well. Great. Perseverance, it's a process, okay? And I just want to end, don't worry, we're not going to go on too much longer, if you're thinking of your oven, whatever, with a very good illustration, I think, here, really. This is somebody I've met in where I work, in the kind of thing I do. He drew this illustration. We've got three areas here. We've got life in a chaotic world, God's desired response, and the ultimate goal of God. Well, we were talking at the beginning, weren't we, that we're going to have trials. Trials. What are we going to have? Trouble. Trials, yeah, trouble. Yeah? But there's a process. God calls us to endure patiently those things. What does that lead to? Character growth. That sounds a bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? But courage to live in the chaos of life. God didn't promise it would be easy. There are some religious groups in the world that use the word in Spanish. They say, pare de sufrir, which means no more suffering. But I'm afraid that is not in the Bible. We are called to persevere, and we are told that it will not be easy, the Christian life. So, trials, patient endurance leads to character growth. Sometimes it can be quite an uncomfortable growth process, can't it? We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and with God. But God wants to give us courage to live in the chaos of life. And then underneath that, we can see that knowing God's objective of our inner growth enables us to count it all joy. We're not kind of deluded, oh yeah, joy, joy, I'm having a really, really bad time, I must be joyful. This is something that comes from God. God can give us that above our circumstances. So knowing God's objective of our inner growth enables us to count it all joy. And then matured character is demonstrated by living out the two great commandments. The first one, love God with all your being to his honor and glory. With all your strength, your soul, your mind. Yeah, in an integral way. And then loving others as ourselves in a life of sacrificial service. So we can see that persevere and love go together. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Just take a moment just to listen to the Lord. The Lord wants us to persevere in our own discipleship, in our own one, in us. He wants us to persevere. I encourage you to persevere in that, with that person you're wanting to share Jesus with, that you're wanting to disciple. He wants us to persevere in our discipleship of others. And he wants those people also to grow in their discipleship of other people in a multiplying way. He wants us to do this in love, in his love, with the love that we've received first from him. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you that you are with us in the trials of life. Thank you that you want us to persevere. And you don't leave us on our own, Lord. You help us to endure, and you have a purpose, our growth. Please give us courage, Lord, to live in what sometimes is the chaos of life. Thank you for your example. In Jesus' name, amen.